Well, this afternoon we're continuing our series on Lord Help Me. We've looked at self-esteem, amongst other things, and this week we come on to dementia. Thankfully, I've got no personal experience of dementia, and that probably applies to the majority of us here gathered. But I hope as we look at Scripture that the timeless truths that pertain to dementia, to those who we love, who perhaps currently do or in the future may suffer from it, the relevance will become apparent to us as we consider our own mortality and our own weaknesses. So let me just flag up a few resources. As many of you might know, there's a helpful center on King Street. The staff are very friendly. There's lots of practical questions that I won't be looking at and won't be considering this afternoon. But the Dementia Centre on King Street has resources like these: coping with dementia, dementia making decisions. They have DVDs available. So things like diagnostic options, treatment options, legal options, looking at powers of attorney, proxy decision makers and their role, providing care for people who give care, role of dementia link workers, all these kinds of things are in these resources, but I won't be referring to them explicitly. Also, there's a dementia helpline, a number of which I've got before me, so I can happily hand that out afterwards. www.alsscott.org is a helpful website. Most of the material, because obviously biblical focus is key, the book that I've found helpful is called Second Forgetting, Remembering the Power of the Gospel During Alzheimer's Disease. It's by a clinician called Dr. Benjamin Mast. Benjamin Mast, published in 2014 by Zondervan. So if you do have relatives who are suffering from this, if it's something that you're concerned about personally, I would strongly recommend Benjamin Mast's Second Forgetting. It provides a very helpful outline of some of the key texts in Scripture, which are pertinent to this subject. Dementia doesn't equal Alzheimer's, as many of you will recognize. Umbrella term would be one way to describe dementia. There are many different forms. Alzheimer's is the most common. Vascular dementia, dementia with Lewy bodies, alcohol-related dementia, frontotemporal dementia. But a lot of the clinical signs, a lot of the symptoms are common to these forms. The underlying causes are not fully understood. We know that there's breakdown in the protein structures of the cells either within or the protein structures surrounding the neurons, the cells in the brain. There's likely a genetic component. So not if we have relatives who have Alzheimer's or who have developed the illness, it doesn't necessarily mean we will, but there is a genetic component in that. And in terms of frequency in Scotland, over 88,000 people have dementia. And so as a church, I hope it goes without saying that it's really important pastorally that we consider the issues related to dementia from a biblical viewpoint. Every person who develops dementia will develop different signs at different rates. People may be initially as independent as they were prior to the diagnosis as afterwards. They may begin with minor changes that may be overlooked for at least a while: memory loss, not recognizing family members sometimes, struggling to find words in conversation, a loss of a sense of time. People who develop the disease may begin to get lost in familiar places, have difficulty handling money, counting money. They may have days where their thinking is more clouded than other days, days of fogginess and how their brain's processing the events around them. And then as the disease progresses, there may be far more considerable effects, personality changes, behavioral changes. Someone who previously was very active may become listless, apparently more lethargic. And eventually, as the disease does progress, because it always does, there'll be a difficulty eventually in things like even simple things, getting dressed, eating, making a cup of tea, going to the toilet. And so in light of these realities, as we age, as our bodies fail, as our population as a whole ages, what does God say about remembering? As Christians, what are we supposed to remember? Or more precisely, who are we supposed to remember and how? So negatively, we look at the command, do not forget. Again and again through the Old Testament and the New, there's these commands to remember. So the negative side, do not forget. The positive side, remember. Deuteronomy 8, do not forget. Beware, God says to his people, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied, then your heart become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And then the warning, and it shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Sobering command, do not forget. Positively, remember. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, possibly the most important text in the whole Old Testament. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, continually throughout the day, remember them, continually teach them to your sons, to your daughters. You shall bind them as a sign on your heart, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Joshua chapter 1. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord gives you rest and will give you this land. 1 Chronicles 16. Then on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord. And then these are the words they were to worship the Lord with. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonderful deeds which he has done. And so what will you do when you're at the bedside of a beloved one whose mind is deteriorating? Where will you go when your own mind, God forbid, but it may happen, when your own mind begins to fail? Psalm 63, my soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. When you can't remember, when your spouse can't remember, where will you go? Psalm 77, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? Where will you go when these words, you can remember them one moment, the next moment they're gone. New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Jesus' words in John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. When Jesus is no longer known by what we say, by how we think, what hope, what text, what truths will we cling to? Romans 10:13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved, from Joel chapter 2. And so as Christians, with all these texts to remember, 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 when our loved ones can't, when we can't, where will we go? And so before we consider people who are suffering from dementia, I'd like to step back for a moment and consider each one of us individually. Because every time we forget who God is, we're guilty of sinning. Now that's a pretty big statement, because most of us forget who God is virtually all the time. But remember the text in Deuteronomy 6, and then Jesus quotation of in the New Testament, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Something that Jesus did continually, constantly, perfectly, and something that we rarely, if ever, do for even one split second. And so in light of this, as we forget who God is, we're sinning all the time. Similarly, or conversely, if I asked you, even just the thoughts that conveyed your own lust this morning, and we played them on the screen up here, same applies to me. We'd be too ashamed to show our face in the building again, because we sin with our mind, we sin with our heart, we sin with our souls, we sin with our strength. And so what does this forgetting of God look like? Two answers from Jeremiah. Number one, worshiping anything other than God, which usually means worshiping ourselves. Jeremiah 18, for my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in byways, not on a highway, not my ways. Every time we forget who God is, we sin. One way this looks like, worshiping mainly ourselves, anything other than God. Second answer, what does this forgetting of God look like in our daily lives? Number two, trusting anything other than God. Trusting anything or anyone else other than God. Jeremiah 13, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Therefore, I will scatter them like drifting snow to the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, declares the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Every time we forget who God is, we sin. We forget all the time. But not only do we constantly forget who God is, we forget as Christians who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone. Behold, new things have come. Again and again, the gospel is, this is who you are in Christ. This is who you've been recreated as a new creature, a new creation. Therefore, live in this way. And when we forget that truth, not by our own works, not that in any sense we depend on our own works, but when we forget that truth, we deviate, we sin. We forget who we are as Christians, people in Christ. And not only that, we forget what he's done for us. One of the main bases of reasoning, one of the main foundations of Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 6. Remember what he's done for you, Christian. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? Think of what he's done for you, and therefore live in accordance with his will. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. What else do we forget? We forget the future judgment. Speaking to Christians, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We forget who we are, we forget what he's done, we forget judgment, and we forget future glory. Writer to the Hebrews in chapter 12, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and every sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Why? Why? Because we've set our eyes on future glory, because we remember Christ. We remember the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. And he goes on to say, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. A huge motivation in sanctification, holy living, obedience, seeing the glorious one himself in all his glory. And so when Jesus calls us sheep in the same gospel, he himself doesn't need anyone to testify about man because he knew what was in man. When he calls you a sheep, when he calls me a sheep, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. And so what makes us Christians every day? What is your assurance in your own mind, in your own heart, and before God? that tomorrow you'll wake up and you'll believe in Christ? What is your confidence that you will have any desire whatsoever to open a Bible? What is your confidence that you will have any desire to groan, to pray, to cry out, to sit quietly at the feet of Jesus? Not only is every day a gift of grace, every single act of obedience that any of us has ever, will ever participate in is a demonstration of God's faithfulness, his kindness, his love, and his grace. Every instance that we have, past, present, future, of taking the word of God, holding fast to his promises, counting them as valuable, counting them as trustworthy, counting him as trustworthy, demonstrates God's grace. So before we come on to the person with dementia, I hope it's been helpful to consider where we stand, how we function as creatures before our gracious Creator. And so when we come to someone with dementia, when we ourselves begin to slide, Psalm 73, Psalm 105, Romans 8 hold true. Psalm 73, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You have taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you, and besides you I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, will fail, are failing, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 105, "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations." Romans 8, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn among many brothers. These whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. These whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things, Christian? If God is for us, who is against us? When cancer comes, when dementia comes, when coma comes, who is against us? What about the unbelieving spouse? What about the unbelieving relative, the unbelieving loved one, as they slide?" Matthew 19:26, "And looking at them, Jesus said to them, 'With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" Four times in the gospel, Jesus makes it clear that no matter what man says, God can do whatever he likes, however he likes, whenever he likes. And so, when it comes to unbelieving relatives, whether it seems to the most well-qualified doctors, our own best judgment, they are not beyond the saving hand of God. And so minister to them, pray for them, believe for them, read the scriptures to them, read the gospels to them, time and time and time again. Not ramming it down their throats, but persevering, knowing that God is able, even when our faith can be so weak. So pray for and believe in the impossible. And then moving on to us here now, in light of dementia, in light of illness, in light of the possibility of where our minds, our brains, our bodies go, how they function, how they lose their function, how ought we to live in the present? How ought we to live? It's clearly apparent from research, from many of your own experiences, the short-term memory fails first. And so the more likely, the more strongly, the more deep-rooted things are within our longer-term memories, the more likely we'll be able to retain them for longer by God's grace. And so in the present, what are we to do? Because the day will come, for some of us, for me, for you, for some of us, when we'll no longer be able to retain, we'll no longer be able to learn, we'll no longer be able to memorize, we'll no longer be able to meditate meaningfully, consistently, for sustained periods of time. Therefore, in the present, May God fill our heads with Bible. Give yourself to learning Scripture while you still can. Do this with someone who will spur you on, who will hold you accountable. Agree on a text. Agree on a deadline. Work towards it together. Pray for one another. They don't become puffed up as well as that you actually reach your goal. Scripture artwork, handlettering.co, handlettering.co. Scripture artwork that you can hang in your house if your finances permit. Amazing works of art that we can buy online. It's a gift. Audio Bibles. Purchase one in your own preferred version. Give yourself to every endeavor that will lead to worship, both in the present and potentially in the future. Whether that's taking walks regularly, whether it's writing God-glorifying poetry and memorizing it, whether it's taking photos that inspire praise in your own heart, whether it's creating a scrapbook with those photos, with verses that you either have learned or plan to learn. Create a CD or an audio file with your favorite hymns, with your favorite worship songs. Write your own songs. Cultivate worship. Give yourself increasingly to it so that your life is a rhythm of worship. Love texts that show you your ultimate end. Psalm 16, Psalm 73, Isaiah 35, Romans 8, Revelation 21, 22. Seek meaningful fellowship. Pray for and work towards forming and maintaining a close group of friends to share regular fellowship with. And then consider your own obedience in the present. Because I read this in Benjamin Mast's book. People with Alzheimer's disease live out habits each day just as people without Alzheimer's do. There is evidence, in fact, that some behavioral problems in dementia are linked with past personality and character traits. Families often report that the behavioral issues they face with a loved one with dementia are intensifications of traits the person had before dementia. Let me read that last sentence again. Families often report that the behavioral issues they face with a loved one with dementia are intensifications of traits the person had before dementia. I can type out those words on my script last night. 20 minutes later, I'm in the kitchen and I'm giving my wife an earful that she never deserved. I don't want to be harsh now, but if we're harsh now, we'll be harsher then, potentially. God's grace is sufficient, I know. But consider your sanctification in the present, because there's medical evidence that suggests it will affect your behavior, your holiness or otherwise, in the future. Because I don't want to be an overcritical, cantankerous, griping husband that is impossible to care for. So consider your actions, your words, my actions, my words, in the present. So the overall question, when we take a step back and just consider the subject as a whole, Bible reading may sound like legalism, rhythms of worship may sound like a habit that you wouldn't want to cultivate even if you could. But the overall question comes down to Christ. The overall question for every single one of us, whether we will have any interaction with dementia, personal or otherwise, now or in the future, ever, the overall question comes down to Christ. The overall question doesn't come down to your profession in the present, though, necessarily. The devil recognizes who Jesus is. People can sit in service after service, hear the gospel again and again and again and again, and sit there as hard as a stone. The question is not about outward profession only. The question is not about religious observance at all. But the question is, does Jesus know you? And is there fruit that proves it? Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Outward profession doesn't mean a whole lot on its own. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And Jesus goes on to say, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Jesus wasn't messing with the people he was speaking to, and he's not messing today. When he says his house falls, he's not saying those who don't obey my commands, their life turns out to be a mess. They struggle. They live a life of financial poverty. They live a life of emotional poverty. He's not saying any of that. He's saying when destruction comes, the house falls, and it falls forever. So the question is, does Jesus know me, and is there fruit to prove it? 1 Corinthians 8, if anyone loves God, he is known by him. Isaiah 49, can a woman forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. If he knows you now, he'll know you then. If he knows you now, he'll know you when it's evident to all creation that you have no other hope apart from Christ. Last text to close with, Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at Jesus, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself. And us. But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Let's pray together.